Welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. I'm your host, Lauren, and I'm so excited about this topic today. I'm joined in studio by Carolyn Olson, the nurse practitioner for the Essentia Health Breast Center and High Risk Program. And we're going to talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. But first and foremost, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited about this topic because I feel like as women, we always freak ourselves out when it comes to breast health. I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions out there about breast health. And so I'm excited to dive right in. So let's start with your background because you have been in this industry and specifically working with breast health for a good chunk of your career.
I have been an RN for over 30 years and a nurse practitioner for about five. I went back to school later in life. And so my very first job out of college was working in a bone marrow transplant unit with women with stage 3 and 4 breast cancer. It was high dose chemotherapy, bone marrow transplant, very exciting. And that's where I first got my first love of working with women. Later in life, I worked at an area hospital in their breast center for about 7 years doing the work I do now. And now I'm a nurse practitioner at Essentia doing the same work with the same lovely group of women.
Yeah, super excited to get to talk to you. Let's start by kind of covering general breast health because I feel like that's a good place to start before we dive into some deeper topics. I always hear when I go get my yearly physical, you know, perform a monthly breast self-exam. How often should I be performing those?
You should be performing them monthly. Yes. And the age you should start doing them is when you're 20. When you're 20, you should start doing your monthly breast exams. We call that having breast awareness. And you should have breast awareness as you would any other body part. You get to know your breast tissue. And when you have changes or something's different, then you come in and you get that checked out. So starting at the age of 20, we suggest that once a month after your period, about 7 to 10 days, you do this breast exam. And it's a visual in front of a mirror. And then you finish it up in the shower.
And that's kind of a good reminder. You know, you said 7 to 10 days after you have your period. So you can kind of get in the habit of doing that.
Yes.
And make sure that you don't miss that. So what is the importance of a mammogram and when should we start getting mammograms?
Well, the average woman should start getting them yearly at the age of 40. Those are our recommendations in radiology. We share the same recommendations. You might hear from other people that you can start at 50, but we recommend at the age of 40. And that's an annual thing. And that's going to be one of the most important things that you do for your breast health.
So are there any genetic factors that increase the risk of breast cancer? Would those play into maybe getting a mammogram early?
There can be. And that's part of our high risk program. So if a woman has a genetic mutation that is a high risk breast cancer mutation, she certainly would come in earlier for mammograms and or other screening tools such as MRIs. And that would be something we could discuss with that individual person.
Are there any genetic tests available to help assess the risk of developing breast cancer?
There are. And typically people don't normally get genetic testing just on a whim. There has to be a reason. There's usually a reason why. Maybe another family member has had cancer and they've done some genetic testing, which then would lead you to get genetic testing as well to see if you carry a gene mutation. For people who are curious about genetic testing, you can always sign up for the All of Us Research Program. It's not run by Essentia. It's through the National Institute of Health. But if you go to the Essentia website, it's an easy and quick way to get onto it. Just go to the search bar, punch in All of Us Research. There's a bunch of questions. But once you get into the system, they will do your ancestry and your DNA for free.
So going back to the genetic factors that you just mentioned.
Yes.
What would somebody do if they don't know if they have any genetic factors? Like maybe, you know, they don't have easy access to like their health history. What are some, I guess, warning signs where they would know that they need to go get tested and even know that they're possibly at risk?
So if anyone's questioning their genetic tree or their genetic lineage, first, you'd have to identify somebody with a genetic mutation. I should say most breast cancers are not genetic. Most breast cancers are sporadic in nature, meaning you are a woman, you have breasts, and you got cancer. Fewer are genetically linked. And then we have familial, where you just have a lot of family members, a lot of people have cancer, but yet there's no genetic link. So once someone's identified with having a genetic mutation, that's when it kind of cascades and everyone else starts jumping on and getting their own testing done.
Right. So that's a good rule of thumb, I guess, for those that don't know if they are at risk. Let's start talking about mammograms now. There's so many myths, I feel like, about mammograms, and I'm only 32, so I haven't had my first one yet. But let's just start with the basics. How can we go about scheduling a mammogram? And can you just repeat one more time when we should start getting mammograms?
Certainly. Starting at the age of 40, the average woman will start her screening mammograms. Those are annual. You can schedule them through your primary care provider. Or you can call directly. If you don't have a provider, that's okay. We'll get you covered for that. So anyone can self-refer to have a mammogram from the age of 40 up. Now, if you have a family history, say your mother had breast cancer at 38, you would start earlier having your mammogram. We don't start before the age of 30, so we say 10 years prior to the youngest family member. So if your grandmother was 50, you'd start at 40. If your mother was 40, you'd start at 30.
And that's if they had breast cancer.
If they had breast cancer.
So how much time does it take to get a mammogram, like from start to finish? What's kind of that process like?
It takes about 20 minutes. And I have to say, yeah, there's a lot of women that think that, oh, it hurts and they're going to squish me and I'm going to get filled with radiation.
I hear that all the time that it hurts, you know, and I feel like that scares people away from it.
It does. And I can tell you, because I've had many in my life, we have such great technology. We have 3D mammography. And yes, they do use a little compression because we want to flatten out that tissue. And we do use a little radiation. But the amount of radiation you receive from a mammogram is no more than flying in a plane across country. Mammograms in general do not hurt. I know the fear is there. If you're an anxious person, you know, try to relax before it. Relaxation is going to help you kind of deal with that. It's a little uncomfortable, I won't lie. But as far as pain goes, I wouldn't call it pain. I'd call it uncomfortable because they do have to compress your breast a little bit because we have to get a good picture. It's like rolling dough. When you roll out dough, the thinner it gets, the better we can see through it. This is kind of like dough. We're going to compress it a little bit because we need to see through those tissues. A little bit of radiation is introduced and then we get a great picture of your breast tissue. If you are a woman who is still getting your period, you might want to wait until after your period if you are one who gets tender breasts premenstrually, or take an Advil or another anti-inflammatory kind of thing, an ibuprofen or Proxyn sodium prior to having your mammogram. If you are one who gets breast tenderness easily, that can sometimes help. So if you can fly in a plane, you can have a mammogram.
I like that reference. So another myth that you also just touched on was, and I've heard this before as well, getting a mammogram is actually bad for you because of the radiation. Can you bust that myth right here?
Yes. The radiation exposure is no different than flying in a plane cross country. And as a matter of fact, they've even changed the recommendations that some of our high-risk patients, it is recommended that they get a mammogram even when pregnant, because it used to be, and again, all these rules change, and it was before, if you were pregnant, you could not have a mammogram. But that's changed because when we're pregnant, that's when we have the most hormonal change. Women who are pregnant and lactating do find a lot of lumps, so we don't want to poo-poo them. We want to see what's going on inside your breast tissue. So it's safe to have a mammogram even during those times.
And things change, you know, when like technology gets better. Things are always advancing. What are some other common myths and questions you get about mammograms, if there are any?
Typically when to start. People think that they should be starting earlier, and that's not necessarily true. 40 would be the age that you would start unless you had those other circumstances. But if you have a breast problem, if you have a lump, if you have a dimpling, if you have something that you've never had before and you are of the age of 30 and above, you can certainly have a mammogram. It's called a diagnostic mammogram. And typically we do an ultrasound with those as well when we have women presenting with breast problems or concerns.
And of course, as always, better to ask if you do see a change than just wait it out.
Exactly. We want that breast awareness to kick in. And if you see a change or feel a change, come in immediately.
Yeah. So let's talk about breast density. This is a topic I feel like I've seen popping up, or at least I feel like people are just talking about this a lot more. What is breast density?
That's a great topic. It is a hot topic and people do talk about density a lot. So just to clarify, density is not something you feel, and it's something that is seen. It's a mammographic finding. And what we're looking at is what we call breast parenchyma. That's a fancy name for the breast tissue that's inside you. The breast tissue, the breast parenchyma, is made up of ducts and lobes, which is your breast anatomy. And so the more you have, the denser your breasts are and the more white it looks on mammogram, on mammography. So we have four categories of density. We have almost entirely fatty all the way up to extreme density. Most women fall in between. So the categories are A, B, C, and D. Most women are Bs and Cs, which is right in the middle there. And then the extremes are the extreme density and the almost entirely fatty breasts.
Why is it important for us to know about our own breast density?
It's important for women to know about their density because it could affect your risk. Now, a woman with a denser breast, so that's C and D, the heterogeneously and the extreme density, your breast tissue is white. Breast cancer can be white. So it can obscure small little teeny cancers just because you're competing. White breast cancer, white breast tissue.
Why do some women have dense breasts and then others don't?
There are several reasons why. Younger woman typically has dense breast tissue. A lot of it is hormonal. And so a younger woman has more estrogen, more progesterone, and they typically have more dense tissue. As we age, our density can be fatty replaced. And so an older woman may have a more fattier breast. Not all always, but sometimes.
So how does a mammogram show your breast density? Because you mentioned you can't feel and know if you have dense breasts or not. You have to get a mammogram. So how does that kind of work?
Exactly. We could talk about breast firmness, and that's a different topic, but the breast density itself shows up on mammogram because, again, we're doing an image of your breast tissue, and that breast parenchyma is what we're looking at. The more you have, the denser you are.
So this is a question that I actually have. So I feel like others have it too. If you have dense breasts, does that mean you have a higher risk of breast cancer?
When a woman has denser breasts, again, it can obscure small findings or small changes. And so yes, in that sense, that may increase your risk because we're just not able to see it. But dense breast tissue in itself does not cause you to have breast cancer. Women who are at higher risk of having breast cancer may have dense breast tissue. It is a risk factor, but there's a lot more to that. And that's when we talk about high risk with those individuals.
Okay, that's good to clear up because I would think if you have dense breasts, that means you have a higher risk of breast cancer. But I'm glad that you cleared that up. Mm-hmm. That's another myth that we can set straight.
Yeah, it can add to your risk, but there are several other risk factors that go along with that.
Is there anything else that women should know about breast density that maybe I didn't ask you?
The most important thing is if you're 40 and above and you have dense breasts, to get that mammogram every year. 3D technology is state of the art, and it's really going to be the most important thing that you do besides doing monthly breast exams, besides having a yearly clinical breast exam from your provider. Those are the things you need to do to maintain breast health and to be on top of things when you do have a change.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, mammograms are going to be early detection. That's the key.
Simple thing that could save your life.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to end by talking about the high-risk program that you're a part of at Essentia Health. Can you tell us about this program, who qualifies for it, kind of how it works?
Sure. So I want to say that the average woman has a 12 to 13% lifetime risk of getting breast cancer. That seems kind of high, but a high-risk woman has a greater than 20% lifetime risk. And so what qualifies her? These are the things that I like to talk about, because if you are one of these people, I want to talk to you and see if you qualify for the program. Do you have a first-degree relative with breast cancer? First-degree relatives are going to be mothers, sisters, daughters. Do you have two or more second-degree relatives on the same side of your family? So two maternal aunts, or a paternal aunt and a paternal grandmother. Those might be what gets you into the program. Do you have anyone who has a genetic mutation that would increase the risk of breast cancer, or do you yourself have one? And then the other thing is there's a few other personal things, such as if you were a child who had cancer and you had to go through chest radiation, that would put you at risk. Or if you have had a biopsy in your lifetime, a breast biopsy that has some atypical hyperplasia or some lobular carcinoma in situ, these are precancerous lesions. So if you've had a biopsy that's had those, you could be a high-risk patient as well.
So if people are interested in joining the program or even just inquiring about it with you, where can they go for more resources on that?
They can certainly find me through our Essentia website. They can send me a message at any time. You can always call our office at 218-786-1019. That's 218-786-1019 to schedule a mammogram, to talk about high-risk program, or if you have any questions related to breast health.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to get out there for any women listening?
I would just ask women, if they have questions, just come to us and ask the source. Sometimes when we Google, we might get misinformation, and I don't want anyone to feel that that's their only option. Messaging me through our Essentia website is a great way, and it's an easy way for me to answer you back. If you are an Essentia patient, that's easy enough to do. You can go onto your MyChart and just ask. But if not, call this number and just ask me a question. I'd be more than happy to go over it with you.
Yeah, Googling doesn't do anybody good. Just causes more anxiety.
It does, and that's not what I want. I want to make sure that you feel comfortable. I want to educate you, and I want to give you the right answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast. I learned a lot, and I'm really excited for everybody listening to, you know, learn a little bit more and just kind of stress that importance of breast health in women.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.